Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
September 11, 2001. Do you remember where you were when you first heard the news of the attacks on the Twin Towers? Then the Pentagon?
Yes, Diane, I certainly do very well. And good. By the way, thank you for this opportunity to explain this to your listeners.
Right, yeah. Okay.
I'm sitting here at my kitchen table looking out the back window in the easterly direction, and I was standing in front of that door just after my daughter called and said that a plane had hit the first World Trade Center. And I remember the intensely beautiful day it was. And I opened the door when I heard this airplane going by. It's just to the north with a horrific roar. And some of my friends at a golf course saw Flight 93 come by. And they could see the passengers' faces in the window.
Oh, my goodness.
It was going relatively slow, and they must have been applying power to get up over the first and second mountains, after which it went down into Shanksville. So it was quite dramatic, and I'm actually reliving that a bit right now.
I'm talking to Bill Steiner. He's down in Westmoreland County. So you actually saw Flight 93 go over your house.
I did not physically see it. It was to the north of me a little bit, and there's a slight hill there.
Okay.
It was just on the other side of that hill, and just beyond that is the golf course I'm talking about, a couple of miles to the north. But it was like sitting at the end of a great big airport runway, because they were applying power, and the noise was deafening.
They were
going at very low altitude, I think probably to stay away from the radar, and they had to apply power to go up 1,000 feet or so to get over the first, and then another 1,000 to get over the other mountain coming in from the west as they were going east toward wherever their intended damage site was.
We
sit right under a east-west flyway here.
Okay.
So we have a lot of planes coming over.
Yeah, Bill, I had completely forgotten that was where the plane turned around, was right over your house practically, right over the Pittsburgh area.
Right.
I
don't have that information salient right now, but it was somewhere in our western Pennsylvania area. And it was following the normal and navigational routes, or it was following the Pennsylvania Turnpike, which is in the vicinity of the golf course.
Okay.
So they might have been doing a visual flight to get east on the turnpike.
Right, and they weren't paying a toll. My goodness.
No.
But, you know, that just shows how much of an impact that entire day had on definitely the entire nation, but also Pennsylvanians, when we have the fact that Flight 93 crashed in that field in Shanksville. And
very much so.
Yeah, for sure.
And, that it crashed, and we didn't know what was happening.
Exactly.
We thought we were under some sort of attack, and we were.
Yeah.
But, you know, and so forth. And presumably you want me to tell you about how we got involved then?
Well, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what I want to do is, you know, I want to throw in the fact that, you know, the Flight 93 went down in that field, but I'm going to throw out the fact that not only did the federal government take that field, but they also took 2,200 acres to create the Flight 93 Memorial.
Right.
And there have been problems with that memorial from the beginning. And so give us some background. How did you become involved? I mean, how did you become acquainted with the proposed designs for the Flight 93 Memorial?
Well, it was almost providential in some ways. It was July 31st of 2005, just before the fourth year anniversary of the crash, and they had been raising money and so forth, and they had produced 1,100 entries for the design of the memorial competition, and those were evaluated by a Stage 1 jury, and then the Stage 2 jury was about to make its final choice, and the Stage 1 jury had narrowed the competition down to five entries. and the state's chew jury was going to pick the best of the five, according to their opinion. Mm-hmm. And they were on display at the Georgian Place of Shops in Somerset, which is very near the crash site.
Right.
And my wife and I, it was a very warm Sunday, July 31st of 2005 afternoon, and we went up there and walked in to the one of the vacant buildings, one of the vacant shops up there where they had the architectural and detailed drawings of these things on display in separate locations mm-hmm. in this big room. And we looked at the design on the left, and it was called Crescent of Embrace. And it featured this very large Islamic-looking red crescent.
And, alarm bells, I would assume, went off immediately when you even saw the words Crescent of Embrace.
Right, yep. It had the red crescent.
Mm-hmm.
And you might know that I had the fortunate opportunity to take a tour of the Middle East in 2000, 4 years earlier, and right before this happened. And so I was aware a little bit of, we went to Cyprus, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and Cairo mm-hmm. on tour, and I got to see some of the things over there. The Red Crescent Society is their ambulance, is the Red Cross equivalent, and their ambulances all have crescents on them. So, and the Red Star and Crescent are the symbols of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked and I said to my wife, look at this. This looks Islamic to me. How can this be? It just doesn't seem right. And I am an amateur radio operator also, so I've gotten to talk all over the world mm-hmm. with different people in different cultures, so I'm sensitive to that.
Right.
And so my wife says, yeah, that's it. She said, this is the best design of the five. They're going to pick this one.
Mm.
And I said to the gal who was the park officer there, I think she may have been an intern. She was in the ranger uniform. I said, look at this design. Does this look like it might be something that is representative of Islam? And she nodded her head. They were aware of it.
Oh, really?
And that was National Park Service. A one-page description of my objections to it, and that started the process of the exposé that, in fact, the design that was eventually chosen was, in fact, this design, Crescent of Embrace, mm-hmm. and it included many features enough to make it a fully functional Islamic mosque, according to a collaborator that I met about 6 months later. Actually spoke to him on the phone. His name's Alec Rawls, and mm-hmm. he deserves all the credit for discovering all the detail in this. But it does include all the necessary features in the design to make the design an Islamic mosque, including having the Great Crescent, which is a half mile wide in the final design, point precisely to Mecca, when it's bisected, when its tips are bisected. So,
but I'm sure that both you and Alex, because we've had Alex on the program also, it's just coincidence. I'm sure you were told that. It surely is not. I mean, I'm sure you're being told what has nothing to do with Islam, just all coincidental.
It's all coincidental, yeah. and mm-hmm. The more we persisted, and we were able to stop some of their funding, we think, by our exposés, the more we persisted, the more they vilified us conspiracy mm-hmm. kooks and
the whole thing.
Yeah.
So what are some of the other components of the design? We have the red crescent, which is, that's the tree line. Is that the tree line around the crescent on part of the one side of the field? I've been out there. I went to the temporary memorial like 3 or 4 times, and I like that as it was. Had the big cross there, which is very absent from the current Flight 93 memorial.
Yes.
You could just really, look out in the temporary memorial. You could look out into the field, and you could, the people left their mementos and stuff, which are, I guess, some got burned up here recently in a fire last year or so, in a fire.
Yes.
And to me, the Flight 93 temporary memorial said it all. And it
yes,
gave people
they were...
a real... Yeah, a real chance to interact, so to speak, with what happened or comprehend what happened in that field.
Precisely. The people would come there, and they would leave whatever they had with them.
Yeah.
The emotion, mm-hmm. I have tears in my eyes right mm-hmm. now because I don't have that anymore with this new memorial, but I standing in front of the wall where people would just put things out, whatever they had in their cart, it might have been a St. Christopher medal, it might have been some token or a patch from their police
teddy
department.
Teddy bear, even teddy
something.
Bears. They even had, stuffed the animals there on the chain link fence there,
And hats and scarves and just anything that allowed them to be connected with it. And it was powerfully emotional.
It was very
But you have to understand that the crescent is to Islam as the cross is to Christianity. And I mentioned the Red Crescent Society, and the number of Islamic flags have the star and crescent, the red star and crescent. And it's and they're sometimes on the top of minarets of many mosques. That's the tower, the calling to prayer tower, which they just dedicated up here, and we could see that as one of the symbolic things. And you have to know also that the blending of symbolism and structure is the architect's stock and trade. Anyhow, we have the name Crescent of Embrace, the half-mile-wide crescent. In red maples, it was originally supposed to be, and then they changed it to red oaks on the basis of some of our complaints. And
But it's still red.
Yes,
oh,
and
I
can't completely attest to that, but they were turning red a couple of years ago at this time of the year.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to see this half-mile crescent from 40,000 feet if you're going over an airplane.
Wow.
It's that big, you know.
Wow.
So it's massive. I mean, it's really massive. And that crescent represents, we think, the mihrab or central prayer niche of the world's largest Islamic mosque, and that was our contention.
Which is in Shanksville, Pennsylvania,
Yes, and the 93-foot Tower of Voices would be the Muslim calling to prayer tower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that just opened up here recently.
Yes, that's the last part. They spent $6 million on it.
Pocket change to the government.
It's a 2,200-acre memorial.
Right. And see, that in itself, like, why do they need that much property?
Yes.
Got to the point where they were going to use eminent domain. I don't know if they had to use eminent domain, but they were considering it because some property owners were not willing to turn their property over, basically, or sell it to the
That's correct. One of the property owners felt he was not being properly recompensed for it, and I don't know what really happened, but I had spoken with his brother, who is an attorney up there, and tried to explain this all to him, and I made him aware of what was going on. It's not easily understood without having someone explain it to you in the complete context and what each feature means. Now, there, I don't know if the trees are up there in the original pattern, but my friend Alec, in the original architect's design, found that the shadow of the Tower of Voices, which we contend is a minaret for calling to prayer, makes an Islamic sundial.
Wow.
By the extension of the shadow. And if you go on and look at sundials, it's not the rotation of the shadow which marks time. It's the extension of the shadow as the sun moves across the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And that extension of the shadow into the surrounding trees in the original architect's drawing makes the 5 o'clock hour prayer. So if the shadow of the Tower of Voices is the calling to prayer tower, then this confirms it. And there are also some orientations to Mecca in those trees in the original drawing. Now, they have made efforts to conceal this by changing some of the drawings based on our expose. But all the features that make this an Islamic mosque are still in place.
Yeah, we have the crescent. Is the Tower of Voices supposed to be there? So is it supposed to be there, like, in the middle of the trees?
No, it's up near the entrance
entryway. Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Which
okay.
calls them the clanging of the gongs. With the noise coming from that would symbolically represent imam
the prayer,
would do to call the faithful to prayer. And I think the song, that melodious song that we hear coming from the mosque is called the Sahada, which is the 5 o'clock hour of prayer, which is their most important.
I can't remember how I first heard about this. I know it was from someone, either you or probably was Fran to begin with.
Probably Fran.
Yeah, just taken aback that we have so many, and you guys saw it in the design when you went before it was even chosen. You guys saw the problems in the design.
Yes.
But nobody in the federal government would really definitely would not acknowledge it. Ian?
Now, we actually went to the same grade school that Congressman John Murtha went to here in Mount Pleasant. And I appealed to him, but he never answered any of my appeals. And, of course, he was associated with that Arab abscam thing. He was an unindicted co-conspirator.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So really not sure what money might have been involved in this. I know that we had stopped their funding a little bit, or at least curtailed it, and that they went overseas perhaps, to that they were seeking money from other places. And I'm not sure of the details of all that right now.
So did all the family members agree with or like the design?
No, not at all. Tom and Beverly Burnett, who we became very close with, their son, Tom Burnett Jr., was killed on the plane. And Tom is a retired teacher, I believe, in Minnesota. And he came here and supported us several times in our protestations at their quarterly meetings. And at those times, we would set up displays and so forth on the entranceways to the courthouse, you know, when it was better weather, and we were just vilified by the officials and also a number of the family members who had become completely convinced that we were kooks trying to stop this and trying to damage the reputation of the people there. But on the contrary, we were trying to provide a warning that we were building the world's largest outdoor mosque. And there's no question, when you look at all the details, and I don't believe, Diane, that you'd have ever seen my PowerPoint presentation, which is very, very convincing. Once you see all this in a, say, a 20-minute or half-hour presentation with a narrative, there's no question that all these features work to make a mosque. Most Americans don't know what a mosque includes. They don't know that it's an Islamic church and its main features usually point to Mecca, and this does very precisely. Mm-hmm. And they don't know that, like our Christian churches, which have the images of human beings in them as saints or, you know, pictures of crucifixes and so forth, those are all forbidden. Images of human beings are forbidden. Icons, they're called, are forbidden in Islam, and they do it all with architectural structuring, and this is perfect for that.
Yeah, I would think that by this time, most Americans will know what a mosque is because we see them springing up across the country.
Yeah, I don't know if they know, though, what the characteristics of a mosque have to be. I didn't know it when my friend, my very bright friend Alec Rawls, he was at university out there, Palo Alto, I can't remember the name of the university right now. Palo Alto is, it's right on the tip of my tongue.
California.
But anyhow, he was there as a graduate student, and he had found all this detail and had blogged extensively about it.
Okay.
He was really a good person to hook up with, and he made me his Eastern wingman, and we collaborated, and I would go up there and, you know, make a fuss when he couldn't be here.
Right.
And I always did it with a great deal of courtesy and consideration.
Which it sounds like it was not reciprocated, that you guys were painted as, like you said, kooks. And because I did attend one of those meetings in Somerset where Alex was there and the Burnetts were there. I can't remember what year it was, but it was one of the quarterly meetings, and a very disheartening to see one family member so viciously attack Tom Burnett Sr.
They had convinced a lot of the family members that we were simply out for publicity and so forth. And I can remember the one you're talking about in which Tom Burnett made a very, very impassioned plea not to build this, that he said it bastardizes everything that my son
and
others
definitely
did.
It made a specific request that his son's name not be on anything associated with that memorial, which was not honored. I mean, they have, you know, Tom Burnett Jr. is listed as one of, his name is listed as part of the memorial, so that was very disheartening. But, you know, I have not seen your PowerPoint. I'd love to see it sometime. You know, I've looked at the stuff that Alex has created and such as that. In fact, right now I've got his big, I think it's ledger size flyer. I guess the planned Flight 93 memorial is a terroristic memorial mosque. I mean, I've kept all that stuff from when I met him and stuff I picked up. from you in this fight, but it is tragic.
I do it all very concisely in a shorter period with less with less detail, but yeah. I get the point across,
right,
and I summarize
across.
Eventually
lose people's attention if you aren't somewhat concise anyway. So yes. You're looking at this, you're looking at all that we have. You know, we have the where the Twin Towers were, we now have a 9/11 memorial. Of course, the Pentagon's been put back together. Of course, that was done very, very quickly.
Right.
And we have the Flight 93 Memorial. Do you believe in the 17 years since the attack on 9/11, where almost 3,000 Americans were killed in an Islamic terrorist attack, do you believe America has become more Islamic friendly? I guess that's the word, that's the term I can use.
Say it again, Islamic?
Islamic friendly. Have we become more desensitized to, as far as we've become desensitized to what happened on 9/11?
Oh, yes, I think so. It's sort of like the time heals all wounds, and that includes even these.
Yeah.
I think that's just the function of time, that we move on to other things in our lives.
Right.
But this stands as a horrific memorial to the terrorists.
Yeah.
And not our good people. And I'm not even sure now, as I've gotten much older, and you say 17 years older, and I'm getting older, that we will ever make this right, especially with all the liberal attempts to do things that are anti-American.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. I watched the Kavanaugh hearing today, and it's just horrible what lengths these people will go to maintain power. And I think that there could be a larger global alliance between the leftists, the communists, the Islamists, and the globalists who may like to see America go by, and they can take over with socialist Democrat dictatorship, you will, or a wider dictatorship.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of those features are on the horizon for us if we're not vigilant.
Yeah. Is there any website? Does Alex still have his website up concerning this?
Alex Rawls has a website.
Yeah, does he? It is still up? Okay.
Yeah, it's crescentofbetrayal.com. crescentofbetrayal.com. And everything is pretty much archived there. Even our old newspaper publications where we tried to make this a public outcry sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the press suppressed it because it wasn't consistent with their narrative.
Oh, that's, we see that on many conservative issues.
And so there's an element of deep state conspiracy here, if you would, at least from the press's standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we took it to many, many people in the local newspapers and so forth, and they would simply go up, they would look at what we had, they would go up and talk to the park
National
people,
Park
and the
Service.
Park people would say, they're kooks and crazy, and they never did any further investigation.
Yeah.
But when you look at this carefully and you're informed about what the characteristics and structure of an actual mosque requires, there's just no doubt there are multiple orientations to Mecca. And all the features, including the Tower of Voices and the naming blocks for the different people that were on the plane, and it was all in the original design, and they modified it here and modified it there to make it less obvious, but it's still there.
Do you know if they had the 44 blocks?
Yeah, there were 44 people on the plane, including
the terrorists, right.
And the act that established the memorial said they shall not be memorialized. And we found that there were 40 blocks for the good guys, and they were all placed together, and they were of a certain type of material, and to have the names of the people who were on the plane on it, including the crew. But there were four other blocks in a different location, prominent location. There were three blocks that the line to Mecca went through in the design, and the fourth block was the great naming block at the entranceway, and it holds the motto of the common field one day and a field of honor forever, or something very close to
something
that.
Like that. Right,
and that's the 44th block, and it's all the same material in the original design. Now, they may have modified it as a result of our protest.
I've not been there for several years.
I haven't either, and my wife said she'll never go back.
Yeah.
But I drop up every once in a while. But we've had some health problems here. My wife had some serious hospitalization issues, and so we've kind of taken a step back from some of this.
Yeah.
But I'm certainly glad to be able to help some of your listeners have an exposure to this, because it's certainly all true. And anybody who wants to see my PowerPoint design, you're free to give them my contact information.
Okay.
And, of course, it's all over the Internet, too.
It's all over the Internet. Well, why don't you give the contact information, your contact information, if anyone wants to see the PowerPoint then.
Yeah, I can give you my cell phone. It's 412-582-0644. I'll repeat that.
Okay.
412-582-0644. And my email address is my ham radio call at Zoom Internet, and I'll spell it out. It's N3AUJ@ZoomInternet.net. That's November 3, Alpha Uniform Juliet at Zoom Internet, one word, .net.
I would encourage your listeners to contact Bill about this to better understand just what it is that Flight 93 Memorial is what it has become, what it was created as.
Sure. And I never charge anything. I mean, I'm not a guy of great means. I've been retired for a long time, but I'll travel anywhere around the local area and meet with a group that wants to see it.
Okay, that'd be fantastic. Hey, thanks, Bill, so much for taking time to refresh your memories as to what's going on, or what has taken place at the Flight 93 Memorial, especially with the recent unveiling of the Tower of Voices and such as that, because it's just a tragedy what has happened there in Shanksville.
Yes. Thank you so much, Diane.
Hey, you take care.
And thanks for all your good work.
Okay, yeah, I'll try to keep busy.
Bye-bye.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.